It's a WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz joining us every Thursday at 4 o'clock. Mike Lombardi, the GM Shuffle Podcast, the Daily Coach, the VSiN Morning Show. What's up, Mike? How are we feeling?
I'm feeling great. How you guys doing? 1-0, ready to go, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. We're not complaining about anything. That's the good thing. Yeah. We haven't found anything wrong with that victory.
You're WIP. That's what you live for, is to find things wrong. Come on now.
A little bit here and there. Right off the top, so one of the guys we talked about last week, we've been talking about a lot this week, is Bryce Huff. And you mentioned to us that you thought that he was an obvious upgrade over Hassan Reddick. So mm-hmm. he didn't even play half the snaps, no sacks, no pressures, I think one assisted tackle. What did you see from Huff, and can we expect more than we saw Friday night?
Well, I don't know what you can attend. I mean, that field really made it hard for pass rushers. It really did, and so it was hard to get traction. You could see the trainers on the sideline, the equipment guys changing the spikes out with 7-inch heels. So I don't know if you want to use a one-game sample. The one thing I said, too, last week was clearly Green Bay was a really good pass protection line, and I think they do a good job. Huff has always been a really good rusher, but he's never been a 70-play player. He's always been a situational guy. That's what he was with the Jets. That's why the Jets didn't want to re-sign him and pay him all that money, because they felt like he was a 30-play guy, not a 60-play guy. I think those 30 plays can be very impactful for Philadelphia. So I would give it a week. I mean, look, this week he goes against Jake Matthews, or he goes against McCrary, the right tackle for Atlanta. Both those guys have struggled when it's a straight drop-back pass game. I think he'll play better. I think that field was a real hindrance in terms of evaluation in trying to get pressure on the passer.
So I would love for you to take us, given that your front office history, to take us into what you think conversations are like, if there are conversations at all, where Howie Roseman goes out and, Bryce Huff was, as far as free agent goes, from a money standpoint, their biggest acquisition. And, Vic Fangio has said, Bryce Huff will be on the field more when he separates himself from the other guys. Are there internal conversations between someone in Howie's position and somebody in Fangio's position, sort of like, hey, we paid this guy X.
Yeah.
We'd like to see him on the field more.
Yeah, that definitely happens. I mean, you have to. I mean, that's what Howie's job is to make sure that everybody kind of falls in line. I mean, that's why everything kind of runs through his office. So he's in charge of that. And obviously Vic is a very strong-minded guy who's got a lot of opinions, and they've got to get that coordinated. I mean, just because you paid the guy doesn't necessarily mean he is the best player. Now, they all agreed as an organization that they thought Huff could be the right guy, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But I think you got to give this a little bit more time. I mean, Brendan Graham, I mean, he had, like, what, one assist in the game, too? Mm-hmm. And I don't think anybody other than the three leading tacklers last week were the linebackers, the safeties, and the corners, which tells you all you need to know about the rush and the feel, too. So I think, look, that's Howie's job, is to make sure that the players – the right players are getting put in the right spots. They're getting there. In some organizations, when I worked in New England with Belichick, that's what he did. That's what he was in charge. He makes sure the coaches play the guys. He oversaw it. When I worked for the Raiders, that was Al Davis's whole thing. Look, they ran the organization. Howie's in charge of the organization. He's going to make damn sure that they're putting the players in. And when conflict occurs between the player not doing the job and the coaches thinking he's not, somebody's going to have to admit they made a mistake, or somebody's going to have to figure out why the player isn't playing well.
Yeah, and those types of things happen. It seems like that may be also going on at the linebacker position, Mike. Our backers played very well last week, Zach Bond and N'Kobe Dean. My question for those guys, one, in N'Kobe, I don't think he certainly hasn't started 17 games yet in the season. He has a little bit of an injury history. And Zach Bond hasn't started 17 games himself. What do you think of those guys, A, how they played last week, and B, whether or not we can rely, maybe not that level last week for Zach Bond, but competent levels for 17 weeks with these two guys as your starter? You think that we finally have found linebackers here in Philly?
I'm not sure you have, right? I think, to me, you signed Devin White on a one-year, $4 million contract. That was really a look. You were just trying to, hopefully, you're getting value here. Hopefully he could return to the old form. I think when you go through the game and you watch the game tape, I mean, I would not say that the Eagles played great defense in the game. Mm. They gave up 29 points, you know, and I think to me there's concerns on all three levels of their defense, right? I mean, you know, when you look at it, they struggled to stop the run. They gave up 163 yards rushing. Yeah. One of the stats no one talks about is incomplete passes. You know, they had 17 incomplete passes, but they didn't get their hands on very many balls. They had the one interception by Blankenship. But to me, I think Philly's got a long, long roadway to go to improve. You're not beating San Francisco. You're not beating Detroit playing the kind of defense that they played in Brazil. Now, there's a lot of reasons for that, opening game, yada, yada, yada. We'll go through all that. But there's a level. They're far from saying they've got everything solved, whether it's the corners, safeties, linebackers, or even the rush guys. I mean, you know, that's the thing. They only sacked Hurts. They have one sack in the game for 5 yards. So I think it's a long way to go before we could think that they've got it done. And I thought Braun made a ton of tackles, right?
Yeah.
I think there's no question about that.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think about the whole Devin White situation? You classified it as a look-see, and I can understand that. I'm just wondering, moving forward, you think he's in a spot mentally where he's okay not being that starter and he's going to be able to be an asset for the team?
I mean, like you've played, you know, the hardest thing is to tell a player he can't play anymore, you know? And so that's the hardest thing. They never want to see it. It's why Phil Jackson didn't want to coach Kobe at the end of his career. You know, that's why he left before Kobe left, because it's hard to say to a player, you're not the same player you once was. That's a typical conversation. I think Devin came up there with the idea he could reestablish his career. But when you watch Tampa play last year, when they put Britt in the game, that really made Tampa's defense much better. So, look, he's injured right now. I don't know if he can win his job back based on what he did this summer. I didn't watch the practices. You're not allowed to watch the practices. So I don't know. But to me, it's not trending in the right direction. Look, I think their team speed on the second and the third level is something you've got to be concerned about. If you're playing some of these teams that, whether it's Kansas City, whether it's, you know, Miami tonight, which you'll see incredible speed, I mean, you're going to have to be able to match it and handle some things, and your linebackers have got to make plays. Look, here's what I've often said, and I believe this wholeheartedly. When your Mike linebacker is slow, your defense is slow. When you don't have speed inside out, it makes your defense look slow.
Mm. We're talking to Mike Lombardi, who joins us every Thursday at 4 o'clock. I want to talk to you about Jalen. So it's been, you know, a 12 or 13 game sample size, you know, almost all of last season, and then this game with him turning the ball over way more than you would like your franchise quarterback to do. At what point, when you're watching him, do you make the decision or do you figure out this is who he's going to be as opposed to the quarterback that we saw in 22?
Yeah, that's the hard one for me, because I think to me, you know, you want him to – look, a center fielder in baseball that doesn't make any errors isn't getting any balls, right? It's not the interceptions that are always – it's the dumb decisions. It's making a bad play worse, right? Mm-hmm. I think, to me, we get so caught up on the interceptions when, in reality, when a play breaks down, don't make it worse. Get it back to the line of scrimmage, you know, throw the ball out of bed, do something. I think when you start to do dumb plays when it's a bad play, that's when you get into problems. Look, every quarterback's going to get fooled. I mean, you know, Tom Brady got fooled the Super Bowl. We got behind 28-3, throws a pick six because he didn't think it was one robbery. He thought it was just cover one. And he's as good as anybody in the game. So they're all going to get fooled. But I think, to me, it's when you make too many of those bad plays and turn them into really bad plays. Josh Allen turns the ball over. Brett Favre turns the ball over. You know, you're not going to play perfectly all the time like Aaron Rodgers when he used to play up at Green Bay. You had a hard time getting the ball away from him. And the fact is, you know, they put the ball in the air 34 times. He only had 14 incompletions. I thought he played a good game, but the two interceptions, he's going to have to – put the ball in the right spot, and his accuracy's got to be better when he does that. So I think it's an ongoing evolution. I think the second year of his career, when he ran the football and he was able to really, and the Eagles were playing from in front in a lot of those games, that helped him. That made him look better. But when you're not playing from in front and you're in this dog-eat-dog game, which a lot of them are in the NFL, you know, you're prone to make mistakes.
We talked about Bryce Huff, you know, who replaced Hassan Reddick. There was a report today from Jeremy Fowler at ESPN that clubs think that the Jets are eventually going to have to move on from Reddick. Do you think there is any world in which the Philadelphia Eagles would trade back for Hassan Reddick?
I can't, because look, you know, all this is being talked to. He wants more money. Do you want to give him more money?
Well, it's not my money, Mike.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah,
that,
I know. I hear
you. The general manager. We just promoted you. Our Sam Hankey was busy.
There it took you 11 minutes.
You know, we're going to give it to you. So, like, I mean, that's the problem. I mean, you want to pay it? Look, here's the thing. I was told he was coming in last week by reliable people in the league. I was told he was coming in because why stay out? Why is he out? Like, he's in the last year of his contract. Come in. You know, he was due to make $14 million this year. Just come in and get 11 sacks. And become a free agent. Like, it's the dumbest holdout since the Le'Veon Bell holdout. It really is. He's just giving money away. It makes no sense at all. Why he's doing it, I don't know. But here's what I do know. Nobody wants somebody else's problem. Only Joe Douglas was willing to take Howie's problem off his hands and give a third-round pick for him. I don't think you're going to find another team who's willing to give Joe Douglas a draft choice and then say, by the way, oh, Hassan, we'll reward you with a new contract. We can't wait to give you more green stuff. That ain't happening.
Yeah, I just don't understand it either, Mike. Your career is only have a small window as it is in your career to make as much money as you can.
Don't leave money on the table.
Exactly.
Nothing says I'm sorry better than money. Right? Don't leave money on the table. I mean, look, that's what Jerry said the other day about Dak. You know, all you guys were thinking Dak was mad. Nothing says, you know, this is what the great Arnold Rothstein said in Boardwalk Empire. Nothing says I'm sorry better than money. And it's right.
So,
yep.
Last one, Mike. The Saquon Barkley had as good a debut for the Philadelphia Eagles as anyone here could have possibly imagined. 26 touches is a substantial number of touches. If you are in charge of the Philadelphia Eagles, how much do you consider managing how much he's touching the ball, thinking about, hey, we have 17 games, we have playoffs, and here's a guy who's been hurt previously in his last several years?
I would be worried about Jalen Hurts having 13 carries and only getting 33 yards. I would be more worried about that. Here's what I would tell, if I were running the Eagles, I would try to say to everybody, can we get Barkley more involved in the passing game? Can we get him out in the perimeter and allow him to take those long handoffs? I mean, the wheel route was great. But to me, you know, he had two catches for 23 yards, 18 long was the touchdown. But that's what I want to do. I want to make him a bigger part of the passing game. I want to, when he's on the field, I want people to think, oh, he's going to run it. But then I want to put him out and I want to get him the football in space so we could take away some of that. And I think Gainwell's going to have to get more than one carry in a game.
Yeah, it looked like the only time he was really in for an extended period of time was when Saquon got hurt at the end of the first half, had a stinger or something like that. Well, Mike, we appreciate you joining us. Remember, it's, I think, 18 days until Sixers training camp starts, so I know you're very excited
for
that.
I don't care.
I don't have any hope. I say that right there. Yeah. So you're not going to get me to come in with flowers and roses. I can say that to you right there. But look, you know, they always pull me back in. I always say that. I'll start out this way, but I'll get pulled back in. It's just it's one of the tragedies of my life.
My Lord. One of the tragedies of my life. Well, if that's one of the tragedies of your life, you've had a pretty good life. So, all right, Mike. Appreciate
Thanks,
you, man.
Guys.
All
appreciate
right.
it, brother.
There he is, Mike Lombardi.
So, can we keep him through Sixer season?
I would love to. I'm sure he would, by the way. And he could just play the Howard Eskin role without being...
Oh, yeah,
I mean,
without being Howard Eskin, yeah.
I do think that Mike, in his heart, who was obviously anti-process
really?
And has been very critical, excuse me, of Joel Embiid, I do think in his heart he would like Joel Embiid to succeed and them to be good.
Yeah.
But that's not everybody who
takes a strong stance against something.
Yeah, who is anti-process. I think a lot of those people would rather he just fail so they can be right about that.
But Chuck.
Definitely. Well, Embiid had one good game and Chuck was kissing his ass.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, he was like crying on the air. Let's not forget that.
That's why I needed an Embiid run.
I would love an Embiid run.
Just for everyone out there.
Beat one good team in the playoffs.
I know.
One good team. Been doing this for 11 years, and they've never beaten a good team in the playoffs. Never. Do you notice that? How does this keep happening?
Oh, my God. Can you be a pro one time?
I don't even touch it. Well, I don't know why.
You set the alarm.
You know what? No, I didn't. I think maybe a Siri thing keeps happening or something. Maybe I'm setting it with Siri. I don't know. I'm not setting any alarms. Anyway, they haven't, Ike.
Yes.
They beat the Nets twice.
Yep.
They beat the Heat when their best
player. Before they had Butler.
Yeah, Josh Richardson Heat.
Yep.
beat the Wizards with Russell Westbrook and Bradley Beal, beat the Raptors after they were good, have never beaten a good team in the playoffs.
Yep.
Not one time. It's unbelievable. Right. Chris in Middletown, you're on WIP. What's up, Chris?
Good day, gentlemen.
Chris, did you hear that you were number four in the Eagles Insider of the Year power rankings yesterday?
I did. I'll give you a little taste of a little fuel. Not a snowball's chance in hell that Reddick comes back to the Eagles, from my understanding of things.
Oh. So. Wow. We're going for two big reports here.
Yeah. Well, hold on. You can't get credit for this.
Yeah, well, hold on. He's reporting it.
He is reporting it.
I'm reporting it. Ike, if I'm wrong, Ike, you can not only remove me, but you can mute me for a month.
No, because I think you're right. I'm just saying it is more likely that you're right. This is really not a report.
Well, it sounds like you should have jumped on it.
Yeah.
Anyway, I said it's a taste, Ike. I didn't say it was a meal.
It's all good. It's all good.
Hey, guys, if I can replace some guys, I want to get Mr. Perfect Brad Lidge in there for Estevez. I don't know if that's been said yet. Sorry, Ben.
It has.
No, that's good. No, you can repeat. Yeah, you can repeat.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's a fair one. I am totally nervous about Estevez. I've said that several times. But in fairness, I was always nervous when Brad Lidge was.
Ah, but we know what he is now.
Yes. Brad Lidge?
Yeah, he was
perfect.
He had
one good year.
Yeah, you know, he was perfect that year.
He was perfect that year.
He was perfect. All right, so for the Phillies, you're replacing Estevez with Lidge, and for the 2017 Eagles, replacing a 2024 Eagle.
Yeah, and I think you may have already heard this, but if not, I want to pick up the phone and tell Coach come back. So bring back Big Red.
No.
We got to go 2017.
You know what? Bring me Dougie P. back. I'll take him.
Wow. Doug Peterson replacing Nick Sirianni.
Okay.
The riverboat gambler himself.
You know, Doug, that was Doug's big balls year.
Man.
You know.
Yes, it was.
Well, I mean, it was.
It was,
you know. And it. Who knows what the legacy of Nick Sirianni is if they end up winning the Super Bowl that year. And because he was, you know. Nick Sirianni was
aggressive that year.
Big ball is Nick Sirianni that year.
Until we got to the Super Bowl.
Yes. And he played well. He started crying at the beginning of the game. Come on, there was a bad sign.
Well, now, I definitely know it was a bad sign.
Well, I love America too. But you can't cry before the Super Bowl, at the Super Bowl, on TV. I'd have fired the guy on the spot. Promoted Steichen. Yes.
Before I give you my answer, Ike. Dude, Baldy was getting a little chirpy there yesterday, my man. And thank you for letting him know, hey, yo, listen, sir, settle down here. That was some great radio. Like, I could feel the fire in your voice, even though you remain calm. I was like, I tried to. Yeah. No, well, you let him know. And I think he realized it. So in the spirit of that, I don't know if this video game's been said, but it was one of my favorites. Of course, Spike, you and I are the same age, but I'll go with a little bit of Ike Tyson's Punch-Out.
We had that mentioned earlier.
Somebody already said it. Do you have a backup in case?
Yeah, I'll pivot to a backup. Zelda.
There it is.
Boom, there it is.
There it is. All right, Chris. Good call. Yeah, that was the one. So the Nintendo cartridge for Zelda was a shiny gold.
Yep.
And when we first got it, we played that game for 24 hours straight trying to beat Zelda. That was at the time we're beating. Well, I guess people still try to beat games. Do they still?
I did not like Zelda.
Oh, really?
No. And I liked the fact that you had the shiny cartridge and everything. Like the sorcerer game, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm out.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm out.
Zelda was great. I still remember the music.
It was popular, yeah.
I think I played it on N64.
Yes, you could. There was an updated version of it there. Sort of like, so Hugh texted me a game. So I'm just going to say it.
Well, this guy still plays video games, by the way.
Well, he said Mega Man. And Mega Man was a great Nintendo game, but then eventually ended up on N64. I don't remember Mega Man either. Oh, really?
Mega Man, I got to pull it out.
I feel like you and Hugh actually are very similar.
Me and Hugh?
Yeah.
Hugh plays a lot of video games.
A lot of video games.
I don't play any video
games. Yeah, but like you have the same mindset on things. Like you know, both watch that Alien movie.
Yes. Yeah, you know what?
Gummies.
The gummies, too. Yeah, me and Hugh, You wouldn't look at us. We look like a 10 next to each other.
Yep. Yeah.
But you wouldn't guess that we would have, you know, similar taste. But maybe we do.
Yeah.
Maybe we do.
What was it called? MAGA?
Mega.
Not
no.
Mega. Excuse me.
Well, I didn't
MAGA
know
Man's a different one.
Yeah, MAGA Man's a little different.
Yeah.
My bad.
Ooh, boy.
That's a little guy on the street running around with a red hat.
Pack. Okay. My bad.
Okay.
How many calls am I about to get?
We didn't say anything bad.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah. It's a slip.
Said nothing bad. Nothing. All right. So we will continue replacement day. Remember, you're replacing one 2024 Philly with a 2008 Philly and one 2024 Eagle with a 2017 Eagle. A
lot of support for Carson today, Spike. How's that make you feel?
I think there's two people that said Carson.
That's more than almost any other answer.
Yes. Well, that's fair. There is a lot of support for Carson. Look, you can't argue.
Time heals all wounds.
You can't argue how Carson played in the first 13 games of that year, but you also can't argue the fact that another guy came in and won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And then usurped him the next year as well. So, but you're getting pre-injury Carson. So I get
Thank you.
I get it. So we will continue replacement day. And just remember that the person you're replacing with disappears. Gone. No longer on the team. Coming up next, the Phillies swept the Rays. Nice. But have a big series this weekend with the Red Hot Mets with MVP favorite Francisco Lindor. Maybe not favorite. The High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report is next on the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.